Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Mosiah chapter 4 is right in the midst of King Benjamin's farewell address. He's covered a lot of stuff in the last two chapters. He's talked about how we owe everything to God and are constantly indebted to Him. He's talked about how Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He's talked a couple of times about the punishment that awaits the wicked. He's also reviewed his own achievements as king, and he's mentioned that he's handing off the kingdom to his son Mosiah, which is ostensibly the reason all the people are gathered together to hear that, but it doesn't seem to be a very important point in the scope of his remarks here. One thing I really like about Benjamin is that he pauses occasionally to get feedback from his audience, to sort of take a survey or get a pulse check or something, and that's what happens here in chapter 4. He's just been talking for the last two chapters, now he takes a little break and sees how everybody's feeling. Verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, O, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth, and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ who should come, according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention, that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you, if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were since the fall of Adam, or who are, or who ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation, save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. So here he's sort of recapping stuff he's already said, really emphasizing that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and that we are nothing without him, without God, and so we need to believe in him and come unto him and be saved. Verse 11, And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceedingly great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice, and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit that hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of succor. Ye will administer of your substance to him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. And now King Benjamin is going to dwell on this topic for a while. Apparently, it's very important to him that his people take care of the hungry and the naked, the beggars, the people who don't have anything. He's going to spend actually the rest of the chapter almost on this topic. And apparently as king, this is something that really weighed on his conscience, that there was this inequality and that people weren't helping each other. He's spent a lot of time, a recurring theme has been love and serve one another. I have loved and served you. You should do the same. But now he's really getting specific about people who beg and how you should treat them. Verse 17, perhaps thou shalt say, the man has brought upon himself this misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And has he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he has poured out his spirit upon you, and has caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and has caused that your mouths should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceedingly great was your joy. And now if God, who has created you, on whom you are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, O then, how ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another. So just like we pray to God for things, we're basically begging, and he gives us stuff, we should give to people who ask us for things. Verse 22, and if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will your condemnation be for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also you your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repent of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich, as pertaining to the things of the world. And again I say unto the poor, ye who have not, and yet have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day. I mean all you who deny the beggar, because ye have not. I would that ye say in your hearts that I give not, because I have not. But if I had, I would give. So he's encouraging those who don't have enough to be able to give to the beggar, that in their hearts they sincerely say, I would give you stuff if I had stuff, but I don't even have enough for myself. Verse 25, and now if ye say this in your hearts, ye remain guiltless. Otherwise ye are condemned, and your condemnation is just, for ye covet that which ye have not received. This is interesting. Sometimes a righteous act, an opportunity for a righteous act is placed in front of us, and we don't have the wherewithal to fulfill it, right? A beggar asks us for food, we don't have any food. Or asks us for money, we don't have any money. But what God is really interested in here, according to King Benjamin, is how we respond in our hearts. And if we truly desire to help and love and serve the people around us, even if we don't have the capacity to actually do so, that's what matters. And we will know if that's actually the case. King Benjamin doesn't say this, but me just logicking this out, I think if you're going through a rough patch financially or whatever, if you're sincere in your heart when you say, I would give unto you if I had, then when you get out of that rough patch and when you're in better times, you will just have the impulse constantly, the instinct to give to people. Verse 26, and now for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. and see that all these things are done in wisdom and order. For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. So King Benjamin wants us to do all that we can, but within reason. He doesn't want us to wear ourselves out, you know, don't deprive your own family of food because you gave everything away to a beggar. But on the other hand, don't do nothing, right? You've got to figure out what is just, what is fair, and do all that you can within those parameters. Verse 28. And I would that ye should remember that whosoever among you borroweth of his neighbor should return the thing that he borroweth, according as he doth agree, or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves, in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, and observe the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember, and perish not. And that's the end of this chapter. In the next chapter, King Benjamin is once again going to take a poll of his audience.